the Lord has given us, this sense of smell. And we are made in his image. So really, the Lord also has a sense of smell. He can smell, just as we can smell. Now, there are some smells which are appealing. They're nice smells. We all have certain things which you find, oh, that's nice. It's a smell. Ladies, you probably go out and you try out various perfumes. I know from up the Rhondda, they only buy Chanel number 5. Whereas down where we are, it's just toilet deck, I think. I don't know. I'm joking. Okay. But there are some smells which are really appealing to people. My favorite flowers are sweet peas. I like sweet peas. I think they've got the most beautiful, beautiful scent on them, as well as being lovely flowers themselves. They smell fantastic. But in the winter, about January, right up in the back of my garden, in the shade, I got a flower there. Well, it's not a flower, it's a plant. It's a bush. And it's a mahonia. Now, I don't know if you ever smelt a flower on a mahonia. It gives off a yellow flower in the winter. And the smell is exquisite. It really is. And maybe if I remember this year, it comes into flower well, I bring some down. But it has an absolutely beautiful smell on it. There are other smells we have as well, which we like. Personally, I like fresh bread. It's always nice. They say if you ever want to sell your house, bake some bread before somebody comes, put some fresh coffee on, and your house will be sold. You get top value for it as well. I like the smell. Sorry, vegans. Cooking bacon, I love it. It smells really nice. And sometimes, when you're going out, if you're going to B&Q, there's a wagon set up, and in the morning, they start cooking bacon, and they do bacon rolls. And it's very tempting. I like fried onions as well. It's a wonderful thing, the sense of smell. And it's what a blessing from God to give us this thing. But there are also repulsive smells. There are some smells which, as humans, we are attuned to. And it's as though if it's harmful, then we tend to, sort of retract from it. And I think it's the way the Lord has blessed us to indicate things which are healthy and unhealthy. Gone off food, for instance. Food has gone off. That's not right. That's not right at all. And you tend to think, no, I'm not going to eat that. What do a lot of us do when we go downstairs to the milk? We take it out. And first of all, we check the date, but we don't always trust that. And we take the lid off and we think, oh, it's okay. It's only for pasta. It'll be all right. And I love mine black. Sorry if you're listening. I'm sorry I don't do that. Although I did put 5 sugars in Joe's tea one day just to watch her face. Have you ever seen the pastor's wife spit? I wish she was caught on camera. Anyway. But, do you know, there's another type of smell. And I hate to say it. You smell. Every one of you. You all smell. I've been waiting to say this for years. And, do you know, I got biblical context to do it. Now, I'm not saying you stink, okay? I wouldn't be right. And don't worry, don't start sniffing your armpits now. Okay, you're okay. But actually, if you're a Christian, to some people, you absolutely stink. And that may seem a strange thing to say. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to 17. Now, it talks about savor here, but we're actually talking about smell. If you look up savior, definition is a flavor, a scent, a smell, a taste almost. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. And let's see what it actually says about our sense of smell. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's wonderful in itself, isn't it? If we just stop there. We always triumph in Christ. We may not always see that triumph. Okay, sometimes when we witness, we'd like to sit back. And isn't it lovely to see somebody come to know the Lord as we witness them? But, cast your bread upon the water and it won't return void, okay? We don't always see it. And maybe that's a good thing because pride builds up within us. And we think, I witnessed so-and-so. Now they come to know the Lord. And, you know, it's the talk on the dinner table. Yeah, well, I remember so-and-so, I witnessed that. It's sometimes it's best that we don't see it. It's lovely to see it when it happens discreetly and quietly, maybe after we've died. You know, the triumph is there in Christ and for Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, also triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Saviour of his knowledge by us in every place. That says a lot, you know. Wherever we go, we carry this savour with us, this smell with us, this flavour, this scent with us, wherever we go as Christians. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, that lovely savour, that scent, that fragrance, in them that are saved. And in them that are perished, it says, to the ones we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other, the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, this is an interesting thing. So, metaphorically speaking, what I'm saying, our Lord Jesus is the most beautiful fragrance of all. There's nothing to compare with our Lord Jesus, okay? It's the most stunning scent of all. Jesus means life and salvation and forgiveness and hope. So his fragrance is sweet and is savory for those who are being saved. But this is not for everyone. For those who are perishing, Jesus means death and doom and condemnation. And so for them, the fragrance of Jesus seems foul and putrid. We can't understand that, can we? But those of you who know, when you try to witness to your family, it's as though there's something repulsive. They stand back. I don't want to know. I don't want to keep away. It's as though something has gone up their nose and, oh, they're not interested. And, you know, it's awful to think that even our loved ones flee from us because they are repulsed by the fragrance of Christ. How sad it is that men flee from their Creator. And he's the one who offers them life and hope and forgiveness. And how sad it is that men despise the very people who can offer them hope. And I've experienced it in my lifetime, and I'm sure you have as well, when you've gone up, you tried witnessing, and suddenly the barriers come up and people back away, don't want to know. And isn't it amazing? The gentlest of people turn nasty when Jesus's name is mentioned. And I've worked with many people, and they wouldn't say boo to a ghost. They really are very calm, quiet people, relaxed. As soon as you mention Jesus, oof, suddenly the barriers come up, the claws come out, and people get nasty. I remember many times people, oh, you're a bigot. And, you know, they just, and you think, where did that come from? It's the name of Jesus, believe it or not, it's probably the most despised name in the world. People hate it until they come to know him, and then they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And people can change their actions, okay? If you love Jesus as your Savior, you have been washed in his blood. You have the sweetest aroma because you're covered in his blood, because you carry the aroma of the Son of God, the most wonderful, pleasing smell to the Lord that you can possibly have. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, what do you think you smell of? You smell of death. Because you're on your way to a lost eternity without Jesus. You can change that. I can't think of anything worse than smelling of death. Now, I was brought up in Penderyn, countryside, village. And I used to go walking up the hills. I used to go and see friends. And there was one thing, you smelt it before you saw it. What do you think that was? Dead sheep. Absolutely stinks. It really is quite repulsive. And you're going along and you think, well, I know it's here somewhere. I can't see it, but you just know it's there. There's a smell of death in the air as it's rotting away, it's putrefying, and the stench comes up. I was cycling up to Llanwano, it was last year, and as I was going along the road, oh, the smell hit me. And I was looking around, I couldn't see anything as I was cycling, but the smell was getting stronger and stronger. And I'm obviously getting close. And as I got to a point, I looked on the side road, there were two dead sheep. They'd obviously been hit by something. And he'd come out and chucked the sheep down the side. I don't know what state his car was in. It must have been a right mess. If you hit the sheep, you know it. It's a side issue, this is. This is going back when we were kids. Do you remember Tony Bell, Ice Cream Man? Well, years ago when I was a kid, there used to be a garage in Penderyn. It's actually now a brewery. Not a brewery, but a garage. They make whiskey there. But that used to be a garage. And I remember Tony Bell in his ice cream van coming back from Greg Meekins. He hit a sheep. And they pulled his wagon down, and all the front wheels buckled. It was a right mess. I don't know whether the sheep died or not. But all the youngsters from the village heard that there was an ice cream van which had broken down, and his ice cream was melting. So we all made our way up to the garage, and we just stood there and waited. And he said, you might as well have it. He said, there he was. And we all had free ice cream, because otherwise it would have melted and gone off. So you give thanks for sheep sometimes. But truth is, Isaiah tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. If a sheep goes astray, it's in danger, okay? There's no doubt it is in danger. And we'll read in a minute of the man who went after his lost sheep. But we've wandered off. Now, we tend to do our own thing sometimes, and we lose focus, and sometimes we backslide, and we need to be brought back in to the fold. Now then, the truth is, the Lord loves us, and he's not willing that anyone should perish, okay? That's why Christ died. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we just have a read of the Lord's promises concerning men. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. God doesn't want us to face these terrifying times. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He knows what's coming in the future. There's a terrible, awful time coming. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Turn to Luke 15, and we read the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15, verse 3 to 7. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth them together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Truth is, if you love the Lord Jesus, he's come looking for you, he's put you on his shoulders, and he has brought you back into the fold, because he loves you so much, and he doesn't want to lose you. If you go out into the wilderness on your own, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're sitting in this church, and maybe even been coming for years and years and years, and I don't know how many messages have been spoken in this church over the years. Andrew can work it out. He's spoken most of them. But many, many ministries have been given. If you've sat under those ministries and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I cannot think what needs to be done unless you need the Lord personally to appear and say, look, but you know, the Lord did to send people. He did actually speak to them, and they still rejected him. So it doesn't come down to that. you must give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste any more time, okay? The Lord has hundreds of messages which are out there, and many, many have been preached. You need to know Christ as your Savior. And if you sit in there now, and you may look like a Christian, you may smell like a Christian, but you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't fool God. Let me ask you a question. Do you really bear the scent of Christ? Do you bear the true scent of a Christian? Have you been washed in his blood? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried and rose again that third day? If you do, your salvation is 100%, absolutely 100% secure. Paul is brutally honest in our reading from the Corinthians. There are two groups of people in the world. There are those who are saved and those who are perishing. This tells us quite clearly that Jesus didn't come to unite, but came to divide men into two. And we know that if you turn to Matthew 10, 34 to 36. People have this vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's kind, and he certainly is, and he's helpful, and he loves us, absolutely. But he's also a God of justice. There's justice there as well, and he is just above everything else. And he said, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household." The sword here is a sword of division. Now you go be on the right side of that division. Otherwise some terrible things are coming. So does the Lord know who he is? Does he absolutely know? True right he does. Going back to the sheep again. We spend a lot of time talking about sheep today. When a sheep has a lamb, and the lamb goes up to suckle at the ewe, what does she do? And she does it regularly, probably about 4 or 5 times every minute she's doing it. What's she doing? She's turning. She's not looking. Right? She doesn't say, "Oh, hang on, does that look like me?" I don't know. You may know what your children look like. I don't know what a sheep does. But she's smelling like that. Why is she doing that? Why is she constantly smelling like that all the time? Because occasionally, a lamb from another ewe will come up and try and take the food that she has busily worked eating grass and converting into milk for her lamb. And if the wrong lamb comes up, she'll turn and she will butt that lamb quite firmly away. And they can be quite aggressive. I've seen it. If a lamb tries to take the milk which doesn't belong to it, because it's another use, they will turn and they will butt that lamb away. They are not going to be robbed by another lamb. The Lord Jesus knows who are his. You cannot fool him. Let me tell you something. Years ago, lots of friends on the farm used to go up there. And through circumstances, one or another, a lamb had died. And what they would do is, because there was another lamb whose ewe, her mother, had rejected, but the lamb who died, was the mother was producing milk, they would skin the lamb, the one that had died. They would take the skin, they would strip it off, including the head part there, as much as they could, and they would wrap the living lamb in it, and they would put bale cord, it usually was, to tie it on, and then they would put it in with the sheep. And because it had been skinned and wrapped around the new lamb, the mother would turn, the ewe would turn, and she would be fooled by the fleece which has been put on the lamb, and she would then allow it to suckle. Have you got an example of that in the Bible where a skin was put on someone? Who was it? Would skin put on him to fool his father? It was Jacob, wasn't it? They effectively skinned goats, as he was. And let's read it anyway. Genesis 27. 25. Now then, here's a question for you as to why smell is so important. What was it that fooled Isaac into giving his blessing to Jacob? What was it that fooled him? Yeah, it wasn't the fleece that had been put onto Jacob's arms. We read it now. It's interesting. Isaac was suspicious. Something wasn't right. Something wasn't right at all. And when Jacob came in, and despite the fact he said, well, you seem to have hairy arms like Esau, and perhaps you are, but yet the voice isn't right. Something isn't right. And what did he do? Let's read it. Isaac was fooled by Jacob. Yes, the goatskins were there, but actually in Genesis 27:27 it says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. It was the smell which allowed him to give the blessing. It wasn't the goatskins on the arms, it was the smell. And his mother knew it, because the one thing she did was to dress Jacob in Esau's raiment, in other words, his clothing. Now then, so smell is very important as a Christian, okay? Now, see these flowers down here? Now then, on a Saturday, every day, I go into my garden and I pick flowers. And they look the same every week, don't they? But I pick them on a Saturday and I come down, I do a bit of flower arranging, and I put them there. Do you think that's true? What are you saying? I can't do flower arranging? What is it about these flowers? What is it? They're artificial, they're fake, aren't they? Do you know, but they produce flowers now, even with a scent on it, okay? That if you looked at them, and I got to be honest, I've done it myself. I've gone somewhere, and maybe they've had a flower display, and I've gone, oh, that'd be nice in the garden. It's plastic, but it's been woven or something. But they're so incredibly realistic, and they put like a waxy substance on them, which allows them to have a fragrance. And they can be very, very deceptive. Do you know, we can get fooled very easily by appearances, okay? We can look at something and we think, yeah, that's spot on, that is. And we shouldn't be taken in by appearances. The Lord is not taken in by appearances, okay? He's not impressed by our appearance. That wouldn't make sense. Because if the Lord was impressed by our appearance, and think, oh, yeah, look at John, he's in church now, and he has got his shorts on for a change. I'm impressed by that. But other people may come in and they go, suit and tie on, good for you. If you're comfortable in that, good for you. I think the Lord's impressed. You say, yeah, but it's not Sabbath row, is it? You know, how do you ever know that you've done enough to impress? You never will. And what are you going to do, spend more and more money? You know, you're going to go for your Gucci or someone else, some other famous designer, to impress the Lord. The truth is, it doesn't impress the Lord. But appearances, humans are very susceptible to appearances. Years ago, I think it was Thelma and David, they allowed a man into the house to check the meter, and they'd gone in to steal, or they'd come to the door, they looked the part, and in the end, it wasn't very nice. And I think it's an old story anyway. People look at things. He looks like a gas meter reader. He's got the overalls on or whatever. Yeah, he must be. And it's anything but. Truth is, Isaac may have been fooled by the smell, but you won't fool the Lord, okay? And in the end, these things down here, they don't smell of anything. They've been like this since how many years? Rachel's wedding? When was that? 5 years? 5 years, and they haven't decayed, nothing has happened. There hasn't been a change in them. And truth is, you become a Christian, there will be a change in you. These haven't changed, and they probably never will. I don't know. Do you dust them, Auntie Elaine? Do you take them home, put them in the washing machine? So for 5 years, they haven't been clean. They still look good, mind, I got to say, and I appreciate the talent that can put something like this together. That's certainly well beyond my abilities. It's fantastic. But they're not real. They're artificial. And if you've been in the church for 5 years, and there hasn't been a change in you, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not deceive him. There's nothing you can do. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. You won't fool the Lord. That's the truth of it. And if you think you're going to fool the Lord, you got a shock coming. Because you stand before him one day, and the words that you will say is, instead of welcome to thy salvation, thy good and faithful servant, you say, depart from me, you cursed, for I knew you not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by thy fruits shall ye know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You will not deceive the Lord. You as Christians have a scent about you, which is appealing, but it's also repulsive to others. But people can change direction, okay? By your witness, by your testimony, by professing the Lord Jesus Christ above every other, people can change direction, okay? And if you're in this church today and you don't know the Lord, you currently smell of death. It sounds a horrible thing to say, but that's the truth of it, because you're on your way to a lost eternity. But you can change it in an instant by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And you can be bathed in the sweetest smell of all the fragrances which have ever been made of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been coming for years and haven't yet decided, don't wait any longer. Now is the day of thy salvation. You could walk out here today. If you're upstairs, you can walk down the stairs. You may trip and fall and break your neck, and that'll be the end of it. Okay? Is he dead? There's no purgatory. There's only one thing waiting for you, and that's going to be judgment, and then the blackness of darkness forever and ever, and there'll be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. The smoke of your torment will rise up forever and ever. You won't see anybody. It's going to be black. The only thing you probably hear is people wailing and gnashing their teeth. That's not a place I'd want for my worst enemy, okay? I don't care what people have done. It doesn't matter. The Lord loves you, and his blood can cover all sins. There's not one sin that the blood of the Lord Jesus cannot cover. So don't wait any longer. Turn to Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You're sweet-smelling. He gave himself as a sweet-smelling savour, but we also are covered in that, and we are blessed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we can bless God by our faithfulness to him and our witness. Simply put your faith and trust in him. Believe that he died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again, and your salvation is 100% secure, can never be removed. Is there anything that can open the hand of the Lord Jesus? Anything? Can you think of anything? Could you open the hand of the Lord Jesus when he's got you? Oh, I changed my mind, you know, all those years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. Tough. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation. There's nothing in this universe, nothing in all creation, because God, Jesus, created everything, I can open his hand. And when he said, once you're in my hand, no one will remove you from it. No one can open the hand of the Lord Jesus. So once he's got you, you're saved forever. And that's a wonderful position to be in. We sing our last hymn in a minute, but we'll just have a little word of prayer, and then we'll sing our last hymn. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to have a dear, sweet Saviour as our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself, going to the cross in the most agonizing death, a visage marred more than any other, and yet you did it because you love us. Lord, such great love is beyond our comprehension. And Lord, even today, that blood can cover every sin. Lord, we know the few there will be that find that way to heaven, and yet there will be myriads who will go to hell. It's almost hard to believe, Lord, that so many people are going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet it will be a small flock which accept you as their Saviour. So, Father, we just pray that you will make us faithful witnesses, that we would be the sweet fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go about our everyday business, and that we would be appealing to people, Lord. They would come to us, and we would never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but always ready, both in season and out, to proclaim his name above every other. Father, we commend the rest of the service to you now as we sing, and a little while as we go our onward way, homeward way, and we pray for Brother Andrew as he ministers the word tonight also. So we commend these things to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to sing our next hymn. Which is, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now, unknown. Amen. And maybe I could ask Mark if you would dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Thank you. forward and share in that view that there is love and joy and lasting peace to be found in Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord, that we pray that those about us might see, might smell a little of that sweet scent of Savior, Lord, that we might go forth and be that witness that we call to be, that some others might find that way to Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The diary, Luke. All right, don't tell my son how he works.